WorldNewsTrust.com is a new site that is trying to define the new mainstream. Their founder, Francis Goodwin, is a veteran journalist who set out on his own a few years ago and has slowly carved out a niche. What does the site do? It tells the truth and provides a place for intelligent columnists to talk about what's really happening in America. It's a good site with people who care about what's going on in America and the world. It's a great site with many loyal writers, including Ramsey Baroud, Harvey Wasserman, Mickey Z. There are too many to list them all. Some content is published on World News Trust first, some is published elsewhere and copied to World News Trust. We also welcome back World News Trust, who continue to support our show and host our website. Visit World News Trust for a dose of news with enlightened and informed opinion. It's not like Fox or CNN or the New York Times. It's World News Trust, defining the new mainstream in online journalism. Visit them today and tell them the New American Dream Radio Show sent you. WorldNewsTrust.com.
Rock Creek gently flows through the parkland of Washington, D.C. until it meets the mighty Potomac River in the heart of the federal city. On the other hand, Rock Creek Free Press is a fiercely independent newspaper that's not afraid to print the truth. We print the stories that others won't touch. The 9/11 cover-up, media propaganda, government corruption, state terrorism, and violations of our constitutional rights. The Creek is a completely reader-supported publication. We accept no corporate advertising, no corporate influence. For a free, no-obligation issue of The Creek, just go to rockcreekfreepress.com. If you want copies for your local 9/11 truth group, send your request to editor at rockcreekfreepress.com. Rock Creek Free Press, not afraid to print the truth.
It's just a ride, and we can change it anytime we want. It's only a choice. No effort, no work, no job, no savings of money. A choice right now between fear and love. The eyes of fear want you to put bigger locks on your door, buy guns, close yourself off. The eyes of love instead see all of us as one. Here's what we can do to change the world right now to a better ride. Take all that money we spend on weapons and defense each year and instead spend it feeding, clothing, and educating the poor of the world, which it would many times over, not one human being excluded, and we can explore space together, both inner and outer, forever in peace.
And now, coming to you live from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, in Duluth, Minnesota, Dreaming the New American Dream, with your hosts, Chuck Gregory and Mike Pelichek.
Welcome. It's hard to believe, but tonight's show, February 2nd, this is our birthday, or our anniversary, something like that. It's we've been around for 1 year now, and It's been great fun for us. I hope it's been fun for you. We missed 1 week last year. Well, so we'll try to have perfect attendance this year. I think we'll make it. I think we've gotten a lot better over the year, but we started off really well. That first show, we had Ava Bird and Frank Cordero, and each of whom have appeared a few times during the year. Tonight's show features Sherwood Ross, our most popular and most frequent guest. And I think that's a good way to set the tone for the coming year. We started out with the Rock Creek Free Press as a sponsor. We played their ad one last time leading into this show, just for old time's sake, because they decided to cease publication halfway through the year. We loved what they did with their paper, and we certainly appreciated their faithful sponsorship and wished them well in their future endeavors. World News Trust and the Spiritual UN picked up the slack for us, co-sponsoring the rest of 2011. And this year they've been joined by author James Boomey, and we're extremely fortunate to have such a strong triumvirate of supporters helping our show come to you. I hope you listeners frequently visit worldnewstrust.com, spiritualun.org, and june2508.com. They're all good sites. There's interesting things to do there. And hey, if you see something to buy or you feel like donating money, they could use some help. On this show last month, we had our first international interview. Julius Awafong of Cameroon came along, and we did a partially pre-recorded interview. I got him to give me provide me answers, and I asked the questions on the show. Julius is going to be back, and who knows? We may have other remote people from other continents. Well, I've run my mouth enough here bragging about our show, but I want to say thanks to all of our wonderful guests. Thanks to Leno Sanic of Black Op Radio. He's helped us figure out how to do this, and he's pretty patiently, brought us along with his exceptional producing skills. And most of all, I'd like to thank my co-host, Mike Palachek. The show was his idea. He consistently writes the wonderful bits of the fake ads, the news from Mount Liberty, and other segments that he and I read to you. And Mike unflinchingly fights for a better USA. We have a new American dream. I thank you, our listeners, for sharing it with us. And now, here's my co-host, my friend, Mike Palachek, an American writer.
Hey, Chuck. How you doing? Thank you, too, Chuck, for agreeing to come along and for into all that you do to make this show happen. And also to Leno Sanic. Without him, it for sure it wouldn't happen. And to our guests who have taken the time out of their schedule to be with us, I really appreciate that. And also to all our listeners. Tonight, our guests are Holland Vanden Nieuwenhoff. Holland is one of the writers of the new film, A Noble Lie. A Noble Lie deals with the Oklahoma City bombing in the, I think it was 95, if I'm right, maybe. He'll be talking to us from, I think he's in Oklahoma City. And Sherwood Ross, our regular radio columnist, we appreciate him every time he has time to come to be with us. It's again time for the New American Dream Radio Show, The American Russian Novel. All we need is more vodka radio hour. Let me explain that. The American Russian Novel, All We Need Is More Vodka Radio Hour. What I mean by that is that it seems to me that we're living in a kind of a parallel universe of what the Russians might have lived through back in the 60s. And it seems like we've got the same thing going on over here. Okay. We have the winds of our own totalitarian society freezing the land solid, a tortured tundra. Some of those who have spoken the truth are no longer here. Their chairs at the Thanksgiving adult big table are empty. Their relatives have sent them to Siberia simply by a roll of their eyes. So let us begin. Here we go. Scooch up to the samovar. Maybe leave your hat and boots on. Fill your peasant hands with a warm drink and listen for the sound of hoofbeats on the ice. The new American dream means never having to say some question or idea is not valid. We are allowed to ask any questions that we have. There are no wrong questions. There is no black hidden military budget. There is no UFO files Americans cannot see. No JFK documents that will not be opened during our lifetimes. No destroyed RFK murder photos by the LA police. No evidence from Ground Zero taken away before we can even look at it. We are not the USSR of the 1960s. This is supposed to be America. That's our dream. Become America. The new America. The real hope of the world. Okay, let's see. The new American dream, what's this all about? It's about becoming the country and the people we have always thought we were. The most profound events in the history of mankind are the thus far successful lies about the involvement of the U.S. government in the attacks of September 11, 2001, the faking of the moon landings, the CIA overthrows of the governments around the world, the murders of JFK, RFK, MLK, Malcolm X, the events of Oklahoma City, Waco, the control of the media, the whole subversive takeover of the U.S. in the spirit of the Soviet Union. While unlike the people of the Soviet Union, we Americans still believe we are free. Lyndon Johnson, the Vice President of the United States, along with our own CIA and the Secret Service, FBI, Dallas Police Force, planned and carried through the murder of John F. Kennedy, and even today, almost 50 years later, that seems like a bold statement, only because ours is a singular society. All the while, we pointed fingers at the Soviet Union, declaring them a closed society and pointing back at ourselves, boasting forever of a free and open society while we are anything but, have been anything but. The ones who rule the Soviet Union, they had nothing on the ones who rule us. We are controlled by absolute pros. Did you ever see The Truman Show? I wonder if America isn't something like that. These successful lies are more profound than anything else in world history ever. It's just all so very well done. It's who we are. Americans don't make cars, but we do psyops like the Greeks did truth, philosophy, science, astronomy, discovery. And so the most profound big thing about this big thing called America is that it is a lie. Bummer, dude. Well, anyway, baseball spring training opens in about a month. On the other hand, we almost admit we live in fascinating times. The idea that we live in an age when Bigfoot and UFOs have not, in quotes, been discovered yet, and when we can still research such fascinating topics as the JFK, RFK, MLK murders, Waco, Oklahoma City, and 9/11 mysteries, not that they're fun, but that they are fascinating and still not discovered or accepted by the mass culture. Some say it's goofy, this stuff, not real conspiracy stuff. And yeah, I'll give you that. It can appear that way, but it's goofy only if you don't read anything. I suppose it's goofy sounding if your sense of reality comes from American Idol, Today's Best Kitchen, America's Biggest Hamburger, Brian Williams, Katie Couric, and Bill Riley and Jim Lehrer. That's the way it was when I was a kid. We watched Gunsmoke, Bewitched, My Favorite Martian, The Flying Nun, Gilligan's Island, and thought that was all we needed to know. So when they told us Lee Harvey Oswald killed JFK and James Earl Ray killed Martin Luther King and Sirhan killed RFK, we said, okay, and then went into the kitchen for an ice cream refill. My realization about what this country is really about, what it has become, is when they ruled that Bush won the election by the stopping of the counting of votes. That was the same year that I ran for Congress, the Democratic Party. I realized, of course, they killed the Kennedys. They could do anything they want. You might ask, who are they? That's a good question. Another fascinating mystery to work on in the laboratory of the United States of America. And you can say that that's conspiracy tinfoil to think like that about the Bushes and assassinations and such, but I say it's just paying attention. Remember, they want us to be afraid. We cannot be afraid.
What if we find that equality is the greatest gift that God gave humans? What if we find that no human being is an enemy of another human being if it's just been politics all along? What if all politics and politicians were jettisoned from our planet? What if we lived simply through our great principles and universal ideals? What if we flowed our human life through all-American founding of liberty and happiness for all? What if the American founding blueprint allowed us the right progress of all people, without sin for the religious and without error for the rational? What if we put money to work simply for the good stewardship of the planet and the caring of all people? What if our new oil on the planet is simply human creativity and that is all energy free, non-harmful, and universal? What if we governed ourselves without a master as the fulfillment of the American founder's version? What if we decided it was love's turn on the planet? Join together here at thespiritualun.org and we will build that new world for the 99% of us. Thespiritualun.org.
This is Elmer Fudd, your on-the-spot reporter for all there is to know about all there is happening in America. Americans are about to elect a new president. It will be either a quasi-Republican or a quasi-CIA president. There will be Wibbles and progressives just screaming and hollering about how we should elect the CIA president again. They will say he did not bomb Afghanistan or use drones to kill people, but he did. They will tell us he did not protect the real perpetrators of 9/11, but he did. And they will tell you, they will say, you are a quasi-conspiracy theorist to think that. They will say, don't worry about what really happened. They will say, vote for the Democratic Party because they are for the people. But that's crazy, don't you think? And then there was those wasco Republicans. Oh, what are we to do? Well, actually, I am a Democrat myself. Remember, as we approach the election season, that our good people should vote for liberals and progressives because, well, And Don't worry about any conspiracy theories. Don't worry about what really happened. Don't worry. We're the Democratic Party.
If you stand for the national anthem,
you might be an American.
If you stand for fighter jets flying over the stadium,
you might be an American.
If you stand for the bombing of children,
you might be an American.
If you recite the Pledge of Allegiance,
you might be an American.
If you recite the latest from the TV nightly news as if it were not merely propaganda,
you might be an American.
If you pay for bombs that killed children,
you might be an American.
If you pay for soldiers that killed children,
you might be an American.
If you hate immigrants coming into your town,
you might be an American.
If your great-grandparents were immigrants coming into town,
you might be an American.
If you put your neighbors in cages because they're too poor to live without stealing, because you have taken far more than your share,
you might be an American.
If you're the only ones in the world to believe what's printed in American newspapers and presented as news on American television,
you might be an American.
If you believe that 9/11 was done by some guys with box cutters,
you might be an American.
If you believe that Oklahoma City was done by Timothy McVeigh alone,
you might be an American.
If you believe the United States government and the United States government media official stories about Waco, the Gulf of Tonkin, JFK, RFK, MLK,
you might be an American.
If you believe Senator Paul Wellstone's plane crashed in the North Minnesota woods by accident,
you might be an American.
If you believe you are the hope of the world,
you might be an American.
If you're at this moment driving full speed in your SUV back to your home and your electronic toys from a long weekend at grandma's house, watching three televisions inside your vehicle and hoping to get there in time to get batteries for your new bathtub bubble machine,
you might be an American.
WorldNewsTrust.com is a news site that is trying to define the new mainstream. Their founder, Francis Goodwin, is a veteran journalist who set out on his own a few years ago and has slowly carved out a niche. What does the site do? It tells the truth and provides a place for intelligent columnists to talk about what's really happening in America. It's a good site with people who care about what's going on in America and the world. It's a great site with many loyal writers, including Ramsey Baroud, Harvey Wasserman, Mickey Z. There are too many to list them all. Some content is published on World News Trust first, some is published elsewhere and copied to World News Trust. We also welcome back World News Trust, who continue to support our show and host our website. Visit World News Trust for a dose of news with enlightened and informed opinion. It's not like Fox or CNN or the New York Times. It's World News Trust, defining the new mainstream in online journalism. Visit them today and tell them the New American Dream Radio Show sent you. WorldNewsTrust.com.
Okay. We have Holland Van den Nieuwenhof.
That's close.
Sorry, but I... Okay. Do you ever have to re-pronounce that name to anybody?
Oh, yes, yes. Don't be embarrassed. I've grown quite used to it.
Okay. Hey, you're one of the writers of the new film, A Noble Lie, and it deals with the Oklahoma City bombing. And I want to congratulate you. I've watched the film three times, and I think it's absolutely great. And just congratulations. And tell me, how did the process of the film come about? How long have you been working on it? Stuff like that.
Okay, well, I mean, it's the culmination of almost 17 years of independent research. How the movie itself got started was we started tossing around the idea of a movie several years ago. Chris Emery formed a film company to explore the idea. We later picked it up under Free Mind Films and put together enough talent. The actual entire production took about almost 2 years. And we released about a month and a half ago. But it's the culmination of basically everyone. I mean, back in when the bomb happened in 1995, the internet was still in its infancy. So a lot of the information just didn't get distributed in a correct manner. So this is the first feature-length documentary to take all of that information, compile it, and so the audience can see the mass, the body of evidence that proves the official story to be a lie.
Okay. Where were you on that day? Were you in Oklahoma City?
No, I mean, I grew up in Oklahoma, in Oklahoma City. It's my hometown, but I was in the Marine Corps when the bombing happened. I was in the School of Infantry. I joined just a couple months before the bombing. And I look up while I'm in the chow hall, and Oklahoma City is all over the TVs. So I wasn't really able to pay a whole lot of attention to what was going on at the time, although I was still able to pick up snippets of things that were happening that were contrary to the official story. And me talking about some of these things with some of my fellow Marines led to me getting in almost in a confrontation with a commanding officer, and I basically had to shut my mouth. And after that, I promised myself that whenever I got out of the Marine Corps, I would never shut up about the bombing again.
What was it about it that when it first happened that made you not believe the official story without having anybody to talk to about it?
Yes, I was somewhat isolated. I was at Camp Pendleton, and I was pretty busy with things that were happening with all that. But I was kind of half awake when I joined the Marine Corps. I joined the Marine Corps basically because I didn't want to get a job, and I was looking for an adrenaline rush and all that. But I was kind of half awake, so I was kind of questioning things that were coming out. So when anything anomalous would pop up, I would examine it and see if it was could be correct or not. Some of the things that were coming out in the early days that I was hearing about was the seismographs at OU and two other seismograph stations in Oklahoma that recorded two explosions. The Parton report. We have an interview in Nobleye with the General Benton K. Parton. He was former head of Air Force Weapons Development. He did an analysis of the damage at the Murrah Building, and his Parton report sharply rebukes and refutes the official hypothesis.
When did you start connecting with people? When you got, did you go back home to, and then you started seeking out people, or was it, how did that happen?
Well, after I got out of the Marine Corps, I went to school down in Texas for a while and finally came back to Oklahoma to settle down to be closer to my family in 2005. And I had to reconnect with anyone. I didn't know if anyone in this whole state was really aware of what was going on in the world. This was only a couple of years after 9/11. Even 9/11 truth really wasn't that big yet. And so I just started writing a handwritten handbill and passing it out hand-to-hand about 9/11, about the Oklahoma City bombing. And that led me to meet Chris Emery, who's one of the producers and the voiceover artist on Nobleye. And meeting him, and then meeting State Representative Charles Key, who we also interview in the movie, and meeting the members of the Oklahoma Bombing Investigation Committee, including V.Z. Lawton, who heard two explosions, who was knocked out by debris before the truck bomb went off. He was in the building. He lost dozens of friends, and he later joined forces with Charles Key to find out the truth about what happened. So just these things kind of added together, and finally we were able to gather enough resources, enough talent to make the movie.
So you were basically, I'm just going back to when you first started, you made up this handbill, you weren't in the street, you handed it out, and that took some guts. I mean, that's how it finally, this whole film finally happened, I guess.
Yeah, I guess you could say that, or frustration. I mean, I had been sitting on the bench for years, just observing. You know, I was always the smartass at the party who had something to say about, you know, government conspiracies, but I never did anything, and I was just tired of it. I was just tired of seeing everything go down, and even if at the time, like, I thought I might be the only one in the zip code who knows what's going on, or at least has an idea of what's going on, I still wanted to get out there and at least do something. And that's, I think, a lesson that people can learn. Not that I'm trying to give people advice, but I mean, everyone just, you got to do something, and it does help, and it can add up to something good.
Okay, who did it and why'd they do it?
Well, I mean, if you're asking for a smoking gun on the piece of paper that is the order to blow up the Murrah Building and who gave it, we don't have that. What we can prove and what we document in the movie is that there was definite prior knowledge of the bombing by several federal agencies, to include the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. They knew the bombing was going to happen. Their agents have testified on the stand that suspects were being driven to Oklahoma City and planning bombings and planning assassinating public officials. One of their own informants, Carol Howe, told them when it was going to happen. Their office was empty the morning of the bombing. Their other several agencies had prior knowledge. Some elements of the Oklahoma City Police Department, they notified and gave orders to the Horse Patrol to patrol downtown for riot control before the bombing. We confirm this with an interview with one of the police officers involved. This police officer testifies about how he was held back. In fact, they threatened him with arrest if they went back into the building to rescue people while they were pulling boxes of documents out. They actually halted the rescue efforts to haul these documents out. So when you look at these causes and you see that the cause is contrived, you can only assume that the effect is the reason. So who benefited from the bombing? Like I said before, I was kind of half awake in 1995, and that was because the political climate in this country was very ripe for dissent. I mean, people were upset with the two-party system. We saw that with the success of Ross Perot, and the movie JFK kind of had come out a year or two earlier and kind of let people know what the true nature of their government was. People were questioning the system. The Federal Reserve was entering the discussion forum. People were talking about the Federal Reserve. That couldn't be allowed to happen. And then, of course, Waco and Ruby Ridge, people were criticizing the excesses of federal law enforcement. Then after Oklahoma City, all that goes away. No one is even talking about disbanding the ATF. They pass anti-terrorist legislation. If you question the government, you're a terrorist. And they continue to wave the bloody shirt of Oklahoma City to this day, which is why it's important that we reclaim that history.
I know you can't tell me that, but why did they do it? I mean, let's just think out loud here. Why, can you do that for me? Why do you think they did it?
Well, what we can demonstrate is that they were concerned about the documents in the building. We interview police officer Don Browning, former Marine also. He was in Vietnam, then he became a police officer. He responded with his canine rescue dog. They promptly told him to put his dog away. They didn't want any dogs in the building. And then they held him back several times throughout the day while they hauled out documents. In fact, he quoted an FBI agent telling him there are documents of such importance to the government that until they were found, rescue efforts would be put on halt. We interviewed police officer Craig Roberts. He was brought in by the FBI to assist with the investigation. He was receiving calls from federal agents in Arkansas telling him that when the Clintons went to Washington to assume the presidency, that all the records on MENA, the Iran-Contra drug smuggling that was going through Arkansas while Bill Clinton was governor there, those records, which were being investigated, were being held in the Little Rock building. They had been moved to the Murrah building. We also have information that records from Waco were being held in the Murrah building. I think whenever these deep state operations happen, there are a lot of loose ends they try to wrap up in because these things are expensive and risky to pull off. So they want to put as many eggs in that basket as possible. The primary reason, I think, honestly, if you had to ask my opinion, was probably because people were questioning the nature and the nature and direction that this government was going. And they were questioning the excesses of federal power, and that had to end.
A big question I've always had is why was McVeigh so placid through the whole thing, all the way up to his execution? Now, in the film, I see that he was arrested in a car without license plates, and he was speeding. Now, if I was going to do that, I would at least have a checklist, and I'd have put license plates on car. What do you think about Timothy McVeigh? Why was he so seemingly placid and willing to go along?
Well, that's something else that struck me about the whole thing. The official story is that Tim McVeigh was the man who drove the truck bomb outside that building and left it, and it blew up. Of course, he was involved. He was in that truck. But everyone who saw McVeigh that day also saw him with other people. This has been proven on the stand. The government really, it's just a testament to how they can cover something up by denying the existence of John Doe number 2 when everyone saw him with other people. Anyways, after the bombing, the first time that Timothy McVeigh was ever arrested in his life was after the bombing for speeding up the highway in a car with no license plate. He's pulled over. He has a Glock 21 45 caliber pistol in a shoulder holster, and he actually tells the police officer that he has a gun and allows himself to be arrested. Now, if you had just blown up a building knowing that you had killed at least a whole lot of people, and you get pulled over by a police officer, and you are armed, and you are a trained soldier. McVeigh had killed before. He was in the Persian Gulf War, so I mean, it's not like he was a cherry. The man had killed at close range. So why would he allow himself to be arrested? That is a question. I have interviewed members of McVeigh's platoon in the Persian Gulf War. I've interviewed the driver on his tank. What he told me was that McVeigh was incapable of independent action. You could tell him, in his words, you could tell McVeigh to shine a rock, and he would sit there and shine and polish it till it shined. But you could ask him to do anything on his own. He was a perfect puppet. Everyone knew this about McVeigh. I talked to a defense investigator who told me that McVeigh told him that he had given his word that he would not give up his conspirators.
You think he's dead?
I honestly, if I don't know, and if he is alive, I really don't want to know that. The evidence on that is that, first of all, McVeigh, there was no autopsy performed on his body, and his death certificate listed his occupation as U.S. Army, U.S. soldier, not veteran status, his occupation. There was no autopsy performed on his body, which is highly unusual. In fact, it's unprecedented on executed federal prisoners. And I have talked to a family member who witnessed the execution live on closed-circuit television, one of the limited audience to view it, and she tells me that when they wheeled him out of there, his chest was still moving. So I don't know, and I don't want to know.
It seems like, well, I'm just going to say, it seems like we see whoever does this stuff has really perfected the lone nut scenario. And it seems to me that Clinton knew, and it seems like that all the things that we suspected could be true. That's what I'm saying. I don't know if, you know, but I'm not saying you have to say that. But going back to the film, how's it doing? It's been out for a couple months. Is it in any? How do you get the film?
Well, you get the film at anoblelie.com. Anoblelie.com. You can watch the trailer, purchase it right there. We released on December 7th, Pearl Harbor Day of last year, so it's been out for about a month and a half. It's going really well. We can barely keep it in stock. We don't know how far it's going to go. We're just kind of sending it out there. We don't have a professional advertising budget, so we're just doing as many radio appearances as we can and using as much social media as we can to get the word out there for people to purchase the movie. And people are asking us, you know, when are you going to put it out there for free? And we are at some point going to put it out for free, probably around the time of the anniversary. But the fact is, this movie was self-financed. I mean, there was no investors or anything like that. Everyone, you see, when you look at the credits, about half those credits are people who gave up their life savings to make this movie. And we need to recoup our expenses and to make enough money for the next project. We like it. We prefer to. That's our model. We prefer to do that way, so no one can control our content. I mean, we don't want anyone telling us that we couldn't put this or that in the movie about the bombing. We have researched this for years.
Is there anything you'd like to say in closing, any more about the film or how to get it or anything?
Well, you can get it, of course, at anoblelie.com. We continue. The investigation is still open. If anyone's listening has any information on the bombing, go to freemindfilms.com under contact. We get those emails. We answer them. We have our own little radio show on the Logos Radio Network. This upcoming week, Wednesday, 8 to 10 Central, we are having a surprise guest, someone who was involved with the failed sting operation that culminated in the bombing. We have developed information. I investigated myself at great personal risk, and we have established that there was indeed a federal law enforcement operation before the bombing using the script of ammonium nitrate, Ryder truck, federal building, and we have the man that the feds tried to get involved with that plot. So we'll be revealing his name and his story on freemindreport.com this coming Wednesday.
And what time is that? Freemindreport.com this Wednesday, what time?
8 to 10 Central. Yeah, it's the Logos Radio Network. And I'm not trying to plug my show so much. This witness is very important. And there were a couple of reasons we couldn't put him in the movie, but we're getting his story on now.
Okay, I just want to say that when people watch this film, they're going to be very impressed with the quality of people you've got in there. I mean, there's yourself, Wendy Painter, another writer, Chris Emery, Hoppy Heidelberg, James Lane, and there's other people who are on camera that I can't remember the names, Jesse mm-hmm. Trenadue, and mm-hmm. it's just amazing. And you know, we sometimes we lose hope and we lose, I don't know. We just think that things are not going our way, but you can look at this film and you can see all the people who worked really hard in putting the truth out there, and this is really important, and these are people who are who we can draw hope for. And I want to thank you, Holland, and maybe we can get you back on again and have a good night, okay?
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me on. I'd be glad to come on anytime.
Thank you, Holland, and have a good night.
What if we choose a world and future that had no war? What if we had a world where progress meant the fulfillment of our human needs for everyone, everywhere? What if we had a world where we find the teachings and great prophets of all religions have been our friend and mentor all along and not our foe? What if we had a world where the air is fresh and invigorating, the water pure and sparkling, and the skies clean and blue? What if the earth is untainted, clean and toxic-free from sea to shining sea? What if the food we eat nourishes, cleanses, and heals us from all ailments and there is no sickness and disease anymore? What if we enlightened ourselves about God as the greatest enlightenment of all? What if we make money and prosperity the way of life for every human being on the planet to unfold and evolve our highest and greatest potential together? What if we had a world where our compassion and humanity to all life on Earth is the key to opening the door to heaven and Earth? What if we find that our openness and unity with all life and each other is our natural high? Join together here at thespiritualun.org and we will build that new world for the 99% of us. Thespiritualun.org.
And now we bring you the new American Dream masterpiece, classic playhouse theater, something, something. Real Voices, with a message you will not hear on the CBS Nightly News. Bruce Cockburn, musician and songwriter. Here comes the helicopter, second time today. Everybody scatters and hopes it goes away. How many kids they've murdered, only God can say. If I had a rocket launcher, I'd make somebody pay. I don't believe in guarded borders, and I don't believe in hate. I don't believe in generals or their stinking torture states. When I talk with survivors of things too sickening to relate, if I had a rocket launcher, I would retaliate on the Rio La Cantoon, 100,000 wait to fall down from starvation or some less humane fate, cry for Guatemala with a corpse in every gate. If I had a rocket launcher, I would not hesitate. I want to raise every voice, at least I've got to try. Every time I think about it, water rises to my eyes. Situation desperate, echoes of the victim's cry. If I had a rocket launcher, some son of a bitch would die.
And this is James McMurtry, singer-songwriter. Vietnam vet with the cardboard sign sitting there by the left turn line. Flag on the wheelchair flapping in the breeze, one leg missing, both hands free. No one's paying much mind to him. The VA budget stretched so thin. And there is more coming home from the Mideast war. We can't make it here anymore. That big old building was a textile mill. It fed our kids and it paid our bills. But they turned us out and they closed the doors. We can't make it here anymore. See all those pallets piled up on the loading dock? They're just going to sit there till they rot. Because there's nothing to ship, nothing to pack. Just busted concrete and rusted tracks. Empty storefronts around the square. There's a needle in the gutter and glass everywhere. You don't come down here unless you're looking to score. We can't make it here anymore. The bar's still open, but man, it's slow. The tip jar's light, the register's low. The bartender doesn't have much to say. The regular crowd gets thinner each day. Some have maxed out all the credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you got to have proof, just try yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far $5.15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores, but you can't make it here anymore. High school girl with a bourgeois dream, just like the pictures in the magazine she found on the floor of the laundromat. A woman with kids can't forget all that. If she comes up pregnant, what'll she do? Forget the career, forget about school. Can she live on faith, live on hope, high on Jesus, or hooked on dope? When it's way too late to just say no, you can't make it here anymore. Now I'm stocking shirts in the Walmart store, just like the ones we made before. Except this one came from Singapore. I guess we can't make it here anymore. Should I hate a people for the shade of their skin or the shape of their eyes or the shape I'm in? Should I hate them for having our jobs today? No, I hate the men that sent the jobs away. And I can see them all now. They haunt my dreams all lily white and squeaky clean. They've never known want. They've never known need. Their shit don't stink, and their kids won't bleed. Their kids won't bleed in the damn little war, and we can't make it here anymore. We'll work for food. We'll die for oil. We'll kill for power and to use the spoils. The billionaires get to pay less tax. The working poor get to fall through the cracks. Let them eat jelly beans. Let them eat cake. Let them eat shit, whatever it takes. They can join the Air Force or join the Corps if they can't make it here anymore. That's how it is. That's what we got. If the president wants to admit it or not, you can read it in the paper. Read it on the wall. Hear it in the wind if you're listening at all. Get out of that limo. Look us in the eye. Call us on the cell phone. Tell us all why. In Dayton, Ohio, or Portland, Maine, or a cotton gin out on the Great High Plains, that's done closed down along with the school and the hospital and the swimming pool. Us devils dance in the noonday heat. There's rats in the alley and trash in the street. Gang graffiti on a boxcar door. We can't make it here anymore.
And now, I'd like to welcome Sherwood Ross, our regular columnist.
Prior to the 2003 invasion and occupation of Iraq, U.S. and other Western oil companies were all but completely shut out of Iraq's oil market, says oil industry analyst Antonia Juhasz. But thanks to the invasion and occupation, she says, the companies are now back inside Iraq and producing oil there for the first time since being forced out of the country in 1973. And Business Week magazine says, quote, Western producers like BP, ExxonMobil, and Shell are enjoying their best access to Iraq's southern oil fields since 1972 being the year Saddam Hussein nationalized Iraq's oil fields. Another big winner of the U.S. invasion, Hunt Oil Company of Dallas, Texas, run by Ray Hunt, President George W. Bush's friend and fundraiser. Oil industry analyst Juhasz says that ExxonMobil, BP, and Shell aggressively lobbied their governments to ensure that the invasion would result in an Iraq open to foreign oil companies, and she says they succeeded. Boy, did they ever. Because the Pentagon works hand in glove with the oil industry. So what we have here is history repeating itself. Whenever Iraq or Iran have been attacked by the U.S. in the past, it's been over oil. That's the record. Those are facts. But if you like, you can believe the U.S. and Israel are only trying to stop Iran from getting a nuke. That, by the way, sounds like a repeat of George Bush's lie that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. Anyway, there's an inscription from Shakespeare etched on the National Archives building in downtown Washington, D.C. It says, what's past is prologue. Shakespeare was right. You better believe it. And history will repeat itself with the new U.S.-Israeli attack on Iran unless the American people rise up and declare no blood for oil. I'm sure with Ross. Good night to every one of you. And, yes, he says, good luck.
What if we find that equality is the greatest gift that God gave humans? What if we find that no human being is an enemy of another human being if it's just been politics all along? What if all politics and politicians were jettisoned from our planet? What if we lived simply through our great principles and universal ideals? What if we flowed our human life through all-American founding of liberty and happiness for all? What if the American founding blueprint allowed us the right progress of all people, without sin for the religious and without error for the rational? What if we put money to work simply for the good stewardship of the planet and the caring of all people? What if our new oil on the planet is simply human creativity and that is all energy free, non-harmful, and universal? What if we governed ourselves without a master as the fulfillment of the American Founders version? What if we decided it was love's turn on the planet? Join together here at thespiritualun.org and we will build that new world for the 99% of us.
thespiritualun.org.
Don't stop thinking about tomorrow. Remember the night of the Clinton inaugural balls, the singing, the dancing, the smiling, the dreams, the hopes? Remember how they gave up on health care? Remember the omnibus crime bill, the construction of dozens of new prisons? Remember the bombing of Yugoslavia for 70 days? Remember the Welfare Reform Act, the end of ADC, NAFTA, the end of jobs in America? Do you remember the pardon of Leonard Peltier? Drug running by the CIA in Mena, Arkansas. Gary Webb reports about that in the Mercury News, and later he's murdered. The sanctions on Iraq that killed 1 million people. The reversal of Glass-Steagall, which is all about the 99%, the 1% in today's headlines. I won't ask, and please don't tell me if you voted for William Jefferson Clinton. Hope, change, elect Barack Obama. Remember the Democratic Party? John F. Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy. We thought everything was possible, probable. And then they blew it all away. Clinton and Obama got the message, wouldn't you say? Yesterday, all my troubles seemed so far away. Now it looks as though they're here to stay. Here to stay. Well, I believe in yesterday.
And now it's time for our daily civics lesson. Today's topic, constitutional checks and balances. There are three branches in the United States government as established by the Constitution. First, the legislative branch makes the law. Second, the executive branch executes the law. Last, the judicial branch interprets the law. Each branch has an effect on the other. Well, you got your impeachment power and your power to declare war and your power to initiate constitutional amendments. Then you got your veto power and revenue bills and overrides and appointments. Check this. Check that. Right. Hey. Kids, come here. Get out of those primary colored plastic chairs. Come sit here on the floor. It's my last day anyway. Tomorrow I'm going to swim to Canada if I can find a river. Get me this rheumatism looked at and an eye checkup, maybe a heart transplant. If they got any, it'll fit this old American body. Listen, this is the way it is. This the world. This is reality. Get over it, get around it, or get used to it. The president wants to bomb some country, kill some people. He does it. The military, the police, or anyone in government wants to put some people in jail, they do it. If the CIA or the FBI or the Pentagon wants to do something, they don't think you'll like it. Well, they'll just tell the newspapers and TV news and radio to lie to you, and then they'll do it. If you work your nine jobs to pay for all this and you don't like it, you want to do something about it, but you're afraid if you do something about it, something bad will happen to you or your kids, or you lose your nine jobs, and then where would you be? But you do it anyway. Wondering when will the guys in black come visit you and cut off your electricity, your arms, your legs? You wonder, are they even going to cut off my, well, you know. I mean, I think I heard where they cut off people's, you know. You're watching and wondering, you're there standing around watching you wonder and worry. And then you realize these guys are very, very good. They already did it.
Well, it's been a long week in Mount Liberty, Nebraska, my hometown. Kate King is the daughter of Jack Robert King, and Sherry King and Johnny King was her brother. A while back, you might recall, you might not, that Jack Robert King took his online podcast radio show on the road. He rode a bus from Nebraska to Oregon. He said he was looking for Bigfoot. Maybe we'll all be able to find out more about that story later. We're trying to. But he wasn't just going to Oregon to see if he could have a Bigfoot experience. He also wanted to find out the truth about America. He just felt in his gut that he didn't know the whole story, and he had to know. Well, he found out at least something, at least more than he knew before. And what we do know, that after he returned, well, a few weeks or months later, he and Sherry and Johnny were dead, and the radio show was no more. Little Kate saw the whole thing. She saw it all, and she ran. She ran into the corn that afternoon, and she lived, and she suffered, and she survived, and she learned. And today, she is very, very angry, and very, very beautiful, and very, very capable. and so very alive. Last week we saw how Kate was arrested while drying on the curb during the presidential motorcade. Well, she wasn't arrested. They attempted to arrest her. She punched a policeman and a policewoman and got away into the crowd, into the night. Well, the next morning, the TV ran the story because there was a television crew right there. And see, Jimmy Venus saw that the first thing when he went to open his gas station. And Jimmy Venus had an interest in Kate King because he knew his father. Jimmy Venus pointed a cigar at the set. She's a friggin' Illuminati. The short, squat man perched on a bar stool behind the counter of the Global gas station watching a dirty white portable television. The sign on the highway said, Global Power for America. He popped miniature marshmallows into his mouth from the collection, scattered on the glass counter in front of him, and dangled his feet like a kid in a high chair. You mean Illuminati, one of the people what rules the world behind the scenes. Rich guys, huh? Venus blew smoke at the TV. Ma, no, Illuminati. He popped another and then puffed. She knows things.
Jimmy tipped his Panama hat back. His mother petted the little dog in her arms. They watched the replay of Kate's fight and dash into the night. Mrs. Venus set Jimmy's lunch sack on the counter. She looked like a female version of her son. Small, round, of indeterminate Caucasian heritage and character. Oh! Squawked a green and yellow parrot in a cage hanging in the corner. Oswald did it. Oh! Long gunman. Cage closed. Oh! Oh! The door clanged as Jimmy's mom walked into the pre-dawn darkness. Another bell rang, and Jimmy got up, grabbed a Santa turd from his pile, flipped it to Bobby, who gloved it in his beak in midair. With his lit cigar clenched in his teeth, Jimmy went outside to the black SUV waiting at pump number one. Jimmy Venus moved in a swaggeredly waddle. He pushed the hat brim back, opened the cap, and began to pump the gas. He grabbed the window squeegee and the metal footstool, moved around to the driver's window. See the news, he said, climbing up on the stool. He flipped up the wiper and began to clean. The driver nodded inside the dark vehicle. Supposed to rain, snow, they say? Nah. He leaned way over to squeegee the cleaning solution. 10 freaking years I've been waiting for her. Inside the open window, Jimmy saw images. He finished and straightened, let the squeegee dangle at his side, puffed on his cigar. He handed it to someone inside. 4 faint bulbs popped on one by one like nightlights in prison. 10 years, said a voice inside. She knows, said Jimmy. Every friggin' thing, said the driver. The driver handed Jimmy a sharp color photo of Kate, the image from the TV of her with her back to the wall, staring into the bright television light. Jimmy gripped the cigar in his teeth and winced at the smoke in the photo. He looked hard from different angles, then at the driver. The pump clicked off. Who is this chick? Asked the driver. Jimmy furrowed his eyebrows, flicked his ash, let the squeegee clatter to the cement. He stared at the driver and asked with his eyes, What the hell? She's smiling, said Jimmy.
And that's the news from Mount Liberty, where all the soldiers are thugs. All the Democrats are cowards, and all the Homeland Security COINTELPRO neighborhood Super Bowl party hosts are about average.
And that wraps up the first show of the new year for the New American Dream Radio Show. I don't mean the new year like 2012, but the new year, the second year for our show. We thank you for listening. We hope you'll join us here next week, same time, same place. Thanks to our sponsors, James Boomey, the Spiritual UN, and WorldNewsTrust.org. Thanks to our producer, Lena Sanek, and stay tuned right here for Black Op Radio, Len's show. It's always a good one. Thank you, Mike, and good night.
Good night, Chuck. Stay warm down there. And good night, Mrs. Calabash. Good night, Todd Beamer, and good night, Barbara Olson, wherever you are.
What if we find that equality is the greatest gift that God gave humans? What if we find that no human being is an enemy of another human being if it's just been politics all along? What if all politics and politicians were jettisoned from our planet? What if we lived simply through our great principles and universal ideals? What if we flowed our human life through all American founding of liberty and happiness for all? What if the American founding blueprint allowed us the right progress of all people without sin for the religious and without error for the rational? What if we put money to work simply for the good stewardship of the planet and the caring of all people? What if our new oil on the planet is simply human creativity and that is all energy free, non-harmful, and universal? What if we governed ourselves without a master as the fulfillment of the American founders' version? What if we decided it was love's turn on the planet? Join together here at thespiritualun.org and we will build that new world for the 99% of us. Thespiritualun.org. WorldNewsTrust.com is a new site that is trying to define the new mainstream. Their founder, Francis Goodwin, is a veteran journalist who set out on his own a few years ago and has slowly carved out a niche. What does the site do? It tells the truth and provides a place for intelligent columnists to talk about what's really happening in America. It's a good site with people who care about what's going on in America and the world. It's a great site with many loyal writers, including Ramsey Baroud, Harvey Wasserman, Mickey Z. There are too many to list them all. Some content is published on World News Trust first, some is published elsewhere and copied to World News Trust. We also welcome back World News Trust, who continue to support our show and host our website. Visit World News Trust for a dose of news with enlightened and informed opinion. It's not like Fox or CNN or the New York Times. It's World News Trust, defining the new mainstream in online journalism. Visit them today and tell them the New American Dream Radio Show sent you. WorldNewsTrust.com.
Oh.